Hi guys, here I am coming to you via the wonders of modern technology because I've recorded this message because as many of you are aware that I've had to this week fly out to South Africa to be with my dad who's had an unfortunate fall and has been in an induced coma. And so firstly, I just want to start out by thanking you for your love, support and prayers during this challenging time. And we just so love you, so we appreciate being part of a family, as do my family in South Africa. They know that you guys have been praying. And so just wanted to start out just by saying thank you to you for that. Well, today we're continuing our Heart for the House series. We launched Heart for the House last weekend, as you're aware, our 22 campaign. And as you'll be aware, our vision as a church, you should know it well, is to be a legacy-building church whose heart it is to help people. I think the church should be helping, not hindering people. And so that's really our passion and desire as a people, is to help people do three things: to know and enjoy God, to discover our purpose, and to make a difference. And that's really the heart behind what our Heart for the House is. It's one way that we're able to give expression to that vision here in our lives. And last week, I looked at what it meant to live and leave a legacy of faith. If you missed that message, you can go check it out on our website, and I really encourage you to do that. But basically, a legacy is something that outlives us. We looked at how it outlives us. A legacy is firstly what people remember once we're gone, but it's also what God remembers once we're gone. And so legacy is powerful. Legacy is where our life lives on. Legacy is where it's about giving and living for something that's going to outlive us. You know, something that's eternal, something that's not just the here and now, but something that is beyond what our lives are, something that is the very heart of Jesus, something that has kingdom impact, something that requires our faith to match his desire. And so what I do for myself, we saw last week, usually dies with me. But what I do for others and what I do for the kingdom will always outlive me. You know, our response today is what's going to seed tomorrow. Life is not just about the here and now. I'm sure many of us are so aware of this. But it's also about what is to come. It's about that preferred future that God has in store for us and that he's outworking. And our response to that is so, so important. And our Heart for the House is one opportunity that we have every year to give expression to that. You know, as a granddad, I hope little Evie and our grand, we've got another grandchild on the way that we're going to be welcoming into the world and in January, which is so exciting. But, you know, for our grandkids and for your kids and your grandkids, I want them to look back on our generation and be able to say that they have left an amazing legacy, an incredible legacy that they can stand on and that they can walk in themselves. And that is what Heart for the House is about. It's about seeding tomorrow today. And last week, you remember that I spoke about three areas of focus, and you can find all of those things in these brochures if you haven't got one. We emailed them out to you this week, but there are also copies available at the information desk. But there are three main areas that is the focus of our Heart for the House campaign this year. And the first area is our legacy. And that's about the long-term vision for us to purchase land or property that can be our forever home. You know, we have just a little over 2 years left on the leases for the Hub and the Life Center, but we do have options to renew there so our future is secure. But how amazing would it be if we could actually establish our own home, our own forever home? That's the dream. That's the vision. And so part of what we're trusting God for this year is going towards realizing that dream. That's our legacy. But the second area is our community, where we want to continue to invest and build upon the amazing initiatives that we've seen occur, particularly in this last year in the through our Fusion Community Care Initiative. And there's been incredible programs that have got started. And so this year, the funds that we raise, we want to see going towards supporting those programs, helping employ people to help run those things as well as some new initiatives that we have coming up, some of which are things like we've got some people doing some training with Christians Against Poverty to be able to run programs to help people manage their finances well. We also have various other programs that are happening as well. You may also be aware about A21. We have a long-established program program with a relationship with A21, and we hosted the first art exhibition this year. It was an incredible success. We want to continue supporting the Walk for Freedom and the Art Expo as well. We want care packs to continue going out as they have been. You know, I've actually was on the receiving end of a care pack this week because of COVID, and let me tell you, it's amazing what a difference that little package of love actually makes. And so we want to continue to expand that as well. We should, in the next week or so, be taking delivery of a barbecue trailer that's been partially funded, 50% funded by federal government funding grant. And so we're looking to just the balance of that to recoup that. And so part of Heart for the House is going to go towards that. You're going to be able to see that hopefully in the next week or two. It's going to be out there, and you're going to be amazed by what you see. It's just, I think it's going to be an incredible tool for our community programs to use. And so that's exciting. And then we also spoke to you about how we're going to be getting behind a church planning initiative as well with a couple from Canberra, Pastor Layton and Grace Gallagher, who in July actually relocated to Indonesia to go pioneer a church with a name to pioneer a church in a place called Malang, which is closest to one of Indonesia's most unreached people groups. And so if you want to see an interview that I had with them, it's about a 10-minute interview. You can go look, jump on our website under our Heart for the House section. You'll be able to find that there. Encourage you to go look at that, get all the details about what they're doing. They're going to be pioneering an incredible work. And so we want to also sow into that area of effective ministry as well. And so that's our community. And then the third area was our home, where there's just various things that we're just looking to continue to make us effective in what we do. And those things are detailed in the brochure about what they are. But it's just that ongoing investment to ensure that the gospel continues to go out there as it should. And we told you about last year about Heart for the House, what an incredible year it was. We had a little over $93,000 pledged, and close to, I think it was around about 99% of that actually came in, which is amazing considering that that was done in lockdown. You'll know that 40,000 of that was saved towards a future property deposit. And then 15,000 of that went towards a legacy, future growth, which is about future sites and ministry costs associated with that. Just a little under 38,000 went towards community programs, which is incredible. And we'd love to continue that tradition as well. And at the end of the financial year, we had around about $240,000 in our building fund. In fact, I think the figure is closer to $250,000 as we've just looked at those further. And our faith goal for this year is for us to believe for $200,000 for this year, which I believe is an entirely achievable thing. But today I want to speak about another area of legacy. And last week I spoke about a legacy of faith. This week I want to speak about a legacy of generosity. A legacy of generosity. And so in Proverbs 11 verse 24 in the Message, it says this, it's a wonderful text, and it said, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So if we're generous, this tells me that we're leaving and living a legacy. But it also tells me that if we are not, and if we're stingy, then we're also living and leaving a legacy. The choice as to which one we live is really up to us. And I know which one I want to live and to leave. I don't want my world to be getting smaller and smaller. I want my world to be getting larger and larger. You know, just with the recent COVID infection that I've just recently had and recovered from, you know, I spent a week in my room in isolation, as I know many of you have had to do that, and maybe you are doing that right now. But it's amazing how with each day, how my room, we don't have a small bedroom, but how my room just started getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Until, let me tell you, when day 7 came and I was able to step out of there, and it was on the midnight on Tuesday and Wednesday, I've jumped onto a plane to go to South Africa. Let me tell you which one I prefer. I know I prefer the larger and larger as opposed to the smaller and smaller. I know where I want to live my life. And it's generosity that this text tells us that opens up largeness. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about that. It has a lot to say about the legacy that generosity unlocks and leaves. The first thing that it says, and we're going to do a quick little overview here, and this is by no means exhaustive, but I just want you to catch the heart about the legacy that your and my generosity can unlock. The first thing is that generosity refreshes. In Proverbs 11 verse 25, it says, "The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." So generosity refreshes both the giver and those on the receiving end. How cool is that? That's what your and my generosity does. It refreshes. But secondly, the Bible also says that generosity has a heart of compassion. Proverbs 29 verse 7 says, "The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern." You see, as believers, we see the need and our hearts are stirred to want to be the answer, the hands and face and touch of Jesus to those in need. And our ability to meet those needs as a church is realized through our collective generosity. Generosity, thirdly, also leads to blessing. Proverbs 22 verse 9 says, "Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor." That word blessed, you've heard me say it many times, but means happy. It means spiritually prosperous. It means to be envied. It means knowing the favor of God. It means having a life joy that's not dependent on the circumstances in which you live. And it says when you're generous, you open yourself to that kind of blessing. Generosity and blessing go hand in hand. Next, it says that generosity is rewarded. Proverbs 19:17 says, "If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord." I don't know if you ever thought about that. You're lending to the Lord, and listen, and He will repay you. What that tells me is that we can never outgive God. He loves a generous people. He loves a generous heart. He loves a generous church. And we've seen that over and over again in the 14 years of existence that we've seen as a church. Generosity also next leads to legacy impact. In Psalm 112 verse 9, it says, "They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever." Listen to this. They will have influence and honor. Wow. Influence and honor, not just with people, but with God. See, that's legacy living right there. And then generosity is also worship. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 11 says it this way, "You will be enriched on in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." You see, our generosity is worship in our lives, but it also unlocks worship in their lives, those that are on the receiving end, those that are the recipients. Generosity is what keeps Jesus at the center. And when you have a generous people, when you have a generous church, when you live a generous life, Jesus will be clearly on display. So generosity is God's heart, and it's our mandate, and it's our calling. And in the remainder of the time that I have here, I just want to spend a little bit of time looking at something that the Apostle Paul has to say about this legacy of generosity. And I wonder if you could turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to read through verses 1 through to 9. We're going to make our way through that text. And he's speaking into a church context. He's speaking to believers here, and he's encouraging them to give and to live generously, to live a legacy of generosity. And yet he's aware how sometimes people can get very funny about it when you talk about finance. In fact, that may be you today watching this and saying, "Well, here's the church talking about money again." But Paul is very skillful in the way that he actually addresses it. And he recognizes where people may be at, and he addresses the issue in four very skillful ways that I think will be really helpful for us here this morning to understand what a legacy of generosity looks like. And the first thing that we see is that he shares a testimony. Let's read in verses 1 through 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." Wow. He uses this example of other churches and Christians to motivate this church, these people, about what it means to live in this grace of giving and to what generous legacy generosity looks like. See, he wasn't telling them to try and manipulate them or anything like that, but he was using this to inspire them. And the reality is, with this Heart for the House campaign, you're free not to give, or you can give within your means. Or you can maybe choose to have faith like the Macedonian churches, like Paul writes about here, who it says gave beyond their ability. They added the super to their natural. They added a faith element to what they can naturally do. And the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, faith is a spirit, it's an attitude, it's a deep-seated confidence in God, His nature, in His promises, in His Word. It's about seeing the future that God has through His eyes and then bringing that into the present and letting that shape our response. And God loves it when we respond in faith. And over these weeks, we're encouraging you to fast and pray and seek God about what is your faith response going to be. Don't let it be a flippant response as you consider how you're going to partner and if you're going to partner, but let it be a faith response, a response where the super is added to your natural. And if we all do that, I believe there's an example that's waiting to happen. You know, Paul shares his testimony, and it's a powerful one in this example. And we can look at other churches to see the example, but we can also look at our own testimony. If I look back over the 14 years of our church, I've seen over and over again how God's people have responded with faith and how God has multiplied what we've sown and how God has increased and how God has expanded and how God has blessed. And it's just been incredible just to see the results of all of that. And so we just have to look at the testimony and we say, God, help us this year as we stand to continue to sow with that same faith, perhaps even greater faith, Lord God, trusting you for an amazing miracle. The second thing that we see is that he highlights the heart and the focus. And let's read in verse 4 through to 7. It says, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in love, we have kindled in you. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. You know, Paul extends this example by highlighting what the heart was behind this church and their legacy of generosity. It says they urgently pleaded to get involved. Why? Because they saw it as a privilege, not as a duty. It was a privilege. They were able to sow into something that was a God agenda, that they saw the hand of God was in, that was going to impact lives, and they said, it's a privilege for us to partner with that. It says that they gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then to Paul and the apostles. Not to Paul and the apostles first, but to the Lord first. I'm not sharing these things with you over these weeks for you to give yourself to me. No, no, I want you to sow into a God vision. I want you to see something of what God sees. I want you to catch His heart and catch His focus. And then out of that, say, Matt, we're with you. That's the way that Paul encourages this church to respond. You see, we're not asking you to give to a building. We're not asking you to give to a fund. But we want you to give to a God vision. I want you to look into the future and I want you to see people. I want you to see changed lives. I want you to see those people that aren't even here yet that Jesus wants to touch and influence and see saved. I want you to see lost people who are going to find hope and salvation. I want you to see broken people finding healing. I want you to see young people who are on fire for Jesus. I want you to see families that are being helped. I want you to see older people living their best days. I want you to see people being set free from addictions. I want you to see people finding hope where they thought there was none. I want you to see marriages that are being restored and strengthened, sexual brokenness being healed and people being restored in that area of their lives. I want you to see a community that is vibrant and full of the love of Jesus. I want you to see a legacy that goes beyond us to our kids and our kids' kids and those that we haven't even met yet. I want you to see that and give yourselves first to the Lord and then to us. And so Paul says in verse 7, he says, since you excel in everything, he says, this was a great church, these great people, these guys were doing great. He says, since you excel in everything, make sure, he says, that you also excel in this grace of giving. You see, giving is a grace, not a duty. It says that actually I want to give back. I want to seed a future that would impact others because I myself have been impacted and I've been changed forever. And this is an opportunity for me to give because I too want people to know Jesus the way that I do. See, it's not just for our sake, but it's for His sake and for their sake. And it comes from a place of deep gratitude, deep thankfulness, deep worship for all that Jesus has done for us. See also that you excel in this grace of giving. And then thirdly, He brings a challenge. In verse 8, He says these words. He says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. I want you to think about those words. I'm not commanding you. You see, no one's here twisting your arm or talking you into things. My job is simply over these weeks to try and communicate the vision and the heart of God in this season. That's my role. That's my mandate. That's what I'm called to do. But I hope at the end of the day that you realize that no one's commanding you to give anything. No one's going to look at who gave what and who gave how much and any of that kind of stuff. In fact, I'm not privy to any of that information at all, which I'm very thankful for, and that's very intentional. But Paul says that he is testing them. You see, and it's interesting what he's testing. He's not testing what they're giving, how much. He says, what I'm testing is I want to test the sincerity of your heart. I want to test the sincerity of your love. Basically, what he wants to say, he says, I want to see what your love looks like in comparison to what it looks like of others. And it's the sincerity. He wants to see, does what they say match up with what they do? Is their response reflective, truly reflective? You see, this is what I've learned, is that love is what love does. I can say I love Jill, my wife, but that'll be ultimately seen not in what I say, but in what I do and what is felt. How I show that. Love is what love does. And what we do is going to show us what we truly value. And Paul is here wanting to test the sincerity of their love for God, of their love for His church. And he's challenging them, saying, guys, let's see how true and how deep that love really is. And the one way we can see that is through what is your response in this area of generosity. Paul himself had instantly been challenged by Jesus on the road to Damascus about his love for God and whether his love was as genuine as he said it was. Because he was about there thinking he was doing right by persecuting the church. And Jesus steps in front of him on that road and challenges him on how he's actually expressing that love. And it starts a journey in Paul's life that actually changed him forever. And Paul writes a little bit later, and when he writes to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about the church as the bride of Christ. A very changed man, a very different man, a very different perspective. But he's had this revelation now that if you don't love his bride, if you don't love his church, then you're not truly loving Jesus the way that he intended. And this revelation came, why? Because the sincerity of his love had been tested. And we have an opportunity in this season to once again show the sincerity of our love for Jesus and his church through our generosity. That challenge is as much for me as it is for you. And then fourthly, he then reminds them of what Jesus has done. He says in verse 9, he says, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. You see, it's for our sake that Jesus left the splendor of heaven. It was not for his sake, it was for our sake, for your sake, for my sake. And let's never forget what Jesus has done for us. We're blessed simply because of him. And when I understand that I'm blessed, that is when I start to live my life as a blessing for others. Because I'm blessed to be a blessing. And I can never outgive God. You can never bless enough and you can never outgive the blessings of God in your life. Do you know that 80% of serving doesn't actually benefit us? It's for the sake of others. And that's the heart of Jesus, and that's what he modeled. And our generosity is not so much about what we can get out of it. Our generosity is saying, hey, this is just, we're blessed to be a blessing. And if others are blessed, we're blessed. And Paul says, before you decide to give what you're going to give, just think about what Jesus gave for you. That's the heart. Jesus gave all so that you and I could have all, so that we can in turn impact all. And he says, I want you to understand that. And now I want you to respond from that place. You see, it's not a feeling, but it's a decision to live thankful, generous, and for his love to be our heart and motivation. So let's excel in this grace of giving. Let's be those that live and leave this legacy of generosity. So what can our response be in this season of heart for the house? Well, this week we have our week of prayer. The brochures are here. You should have received some of these already, either in person or through email. They'll be available on our website as well. But it speaks about the week of prayer that's going to be happening from the 22nd to the 26th of August. And it starts on Monday, finishes on Friday. And we're encouraging everyone to participate and to use this week to ask the Lord to show you, what is your faith response going to be in this season? How are you going to respond with this legacy of generosity? Jill and myself, even though we're separated by oceans, we're doing exactly the same. We are praying and asking God to show us what our faith response in the season is as well. And we're going to be praying during this week on Monday, Tuesday and Thursday mornings via Zoom from 7 to 7:30. I'm just praying for all manner of things. And then on Wednesday and Friday at the Hub from 6 to 6:45, we're going to gather together as God's people to worship and pray. And we're encouraging small groups to get together. We're encouraging groups of two or three others to get together to form various little prayer hubs and to actually pray for the week. And I'm believing that during this week, God's going to reveal incredible things in our hearts and stir our faith. And one of the things we're praying for is our heart for the house response. And then next Sunday the 28th of August, we're going to have our pledge or commitment Sunday, where if you consider Fusion Home, inside of this brochure that we've distributed, there is the commitment pledge form that we have here. And we ask you to bring those on that Sunday. And we're going to have an opportunity to bring those as part of our worship and collective. It's always such a powerful and such a special day as we do that, as we did as individuals, as we did as families. And as we say, God, here's our faith response to in this season about what you're actually putting before us. And you can submit those before then if you want to do that. You can do that via the online website. If you go onto our website, there's a dedicated Heart for the House section. It'll take you to the online pledge form that's on there via the Tithely app if you want to do it there, or in person. There's multiple ways for you to do it, whatever's most convenient for you. And we're going to have that opportunity on the 28th, which is, I know there's a miracle that's waiting to unfold. But here's my final thought, is that if we respond not just out of what we can do, but out of what he can do through us, as we respond in faith, I believe there's an incredible miracle that's waiting to unfold. Can we take a moment to pray? And if you have these folders here, the commitment forms, why don't you just grab one of those if you had them, or just take the hand of your partner, your loved ones, and let's pray together in this season. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity that we have to live and leave a legacy of generosity. And I pray that we would see and respond out of what you've done for us, that we'd catch your heartbeat, catch your vision, and that we would look to excel in this area of generosity, Lord God. I pray, Father, that no one would feel like they're being forced into this, but there would be a deep conviction that would come from you about what our response needs to be. And may it be a response of faith. May it be a response of generosity, Lord God, in such a way that our world gets larger and larger and larger. I pray for that, Lord. I pray for every person that's here watching this morning, either in the building or online. I pray for those that right now may be facing sickness or hardship or difficulty. I lift them up to you, Lord God. I pray for your supernatural touch, your supernatural healing, your supernatural provision, whatever it is that's needed. I pray that you would come and meet with them and you would manifest yourself in the most glorious of ways. We thank you, Jesus, that you are not stuck in the pages of history, but you are alive and present through the power of your Holy Spirit. And as we lift needs up before you, I know that your desire is to come and meet with people right where they're at and do great and mighty things for your glory. We thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity that we have in this season. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, guys, I'm going to hand you back to the team there. But we just thank you for the opportunity that I have. Hopefully what I've shared has inspired you. Next week, I'm going to speak about in the final, on that Pledge Sunday, about a legacy of impact. It's going to be a great message. I know it's going to stir your hearts. And we'll keep you updated about what's going on in terms of my visits to South Africa and those kind of things. God bless you. And once again, thank you for your love. Thank you for support. And thank you for your prayer.